from the corner. Yes! And a foul!
Is he having himself an afternoon?
Schweiger feeling. His third three already.
On the drive goes Patty Casey for the basket.
Backdoor cut. Schweiger with the jam. This is Schweiger in close. And one.
Welcome to episode 10 of the Schweiger Show. Just had a great interview with Jake Marsh, and Jake Marsh, if you guys don't know his background, he is with Part of My Take and is also an upcoming broadcaster in the sports world. So it was a nice little change up, a nice little switch up from what we've been doing. We've had a lot of basketball guests, a lot of basketball specific guests, but Patty stepped up to the plate, got his first guest of the year, and well, I thought it was a big time guest, Patty.
Yeah, I mean, when you're talking podcasts, there's none bigger than Part of My Take in the sports industry. So, very good interview with Jake. Super nice guy. Big Cuse guy, too. So, it's fun. Huge Cuse guy. Fun to talk to him. Sorry, we're hitting double digits here. Episode 10. Milestone. So, I mean, we're just stacking them on top of each other at this point. But, like I always say, thanks to Charlie again. Very good interview with Charlie. Very interesting stories. So I thought he was pretty fun to talk to. I can't wait to just talk about random basketball stuff whenever I actually meet him in person when I'm in LA.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, Charlie's the best. One of the best trainers around, like I said multiple times. And it's honestly just a great guy all around.
Yeah. Charlie, big basketball guy. Jake Marsh, college basketball expert. So that was kind of the reason for us, you know, thinking of having him on this week. Like we said, great interview. Can't wait for you guys to hear it. But one of the bigger weeks of basketball this week, Schweiger, with college basketball starting last Monday. Kind of unique, the Monday start, I thought. Doesn't it usually start, like, later in the year? Or am I being dumb there? Like, later in a week?
I always thought it was the second Tuesday of November.
So did I. But I don't know. Oh, maybe it was election? Is that not to get political here, you know. But
yeah, no, we're not going political. But that's definitely the reason.
How about me that just putting that together right on the fly? Pretty smart.
Yeah, that was great. That was great.
But how much college basketball were you able to tune into?
Yeah, I was able to tune into Syracuse and Villanova. Mm-hmm. I've watched both of Villanova's games and watched the Cuse play. So honestly, a busy week of basketball. Yeah. Busy week of basketball. It's funny. I mean, being in the NBA now and just watching so many NBA games, it's such a contrast of styles. I'm not saying one's better than the other, but it's just such a contrast of styles of what I'm used to, because I'm usually just locked in on college basketball.
Yeah. Yeah, it's personal preference. That was going to be my first question to you. How weird is it being on the other end now where you're like a fan and you're watching college basketball rather than the last 4 years of your life? The other thing that people don't consider, especially when you're in your shoes and you're recruited so heavily, since like freshman year of high school, your sights have been set basically on, like, you're thinking about college basketball so much. You know what I mean? Every time you're playing basketball, you're getting evaluated by a coach. So really, it's like the last, 8 years of your life. It's such a giant part of your life. So is it kind of weird, like, tuning in as a fan now?
Yeah, I can tell you what. I get really nervous watching Syracuse play. Like, just having, like, the love and appreciation I have for the school and the coaches and just wanting them to do well and having a bunch of brothers on the team that are still there, it's definitely, like, a certain level of, like, anxiety, you know what I mean? Going into games.
It's helpless.
Yeah, it's just helpless, and I can do nothing about it. So, obviously, it was great seeing Syracuse get that dub. One of our producers, Adam Lewis, was like, we just watching them. Or, no, actually, Patty said this in our group chat. He was like, they just had a great 10-minute stretch.
Yeah.
The last 10 minutes at the end of the first half, and I couldn't agree more. I thought they played with great pace, great flow. I thought Judah was getting out in the open court. I thought Jope was playing confident. Jesse was anchoring the middle of the zone, playing very confident. And then I thought our role players came in and played well.
Right, yeah. Last week we did somewhat of like a deep dive on the first game. But to your point about how it's pretty nerve-wracking watching as a fan, the 8 days in between games is also, like, horrible. You know what I mean? Like, terrible. You watch one game on Monday night, and you're like, you have this thirst for Cuse basketball, and then got to wait 8 days. Like, what is this, football? Don't much care for that.
I think it was smart from Coach Boeheim's perspective was being a young team, they've already pretty much played three games. IUP, who we've talked about, is a great team.
Yeah.
They played the second exhibition game. It was Southern New Hampshire, who...
Great D2 program.
I mean, they've been to Elite Eight, Final Fours, and Division Two.
Yeah.
And then playing a really good team in Lehigh, the first game, like who've been in the tournament, who've produced pros, and now Coach Boeheim gets to see those three games and then practice for 8 days is, To me, that's smart on his part. Now he gets to, you see what you kind of have in these freshmen in games that aren't as big, may not be as what our eyes are set on for being Syracuse basketball fans, but you have a legend now who has three games underneath his belt to kind of go right now, to kind of form a rotation.
Yeah. Actually, that's a great point by you, because I hadn't thought of that about the 8 days of practice. That's what you think about when you're, you know, actually in the games like yourself. You know, when you're a basketball savant like yourself, that's what you're thinking of day in, day out.
So it's all about the process for me, like the GMAC episode.
Oh yeah, of course.
Heavy process guy.
Yeah, but big week for Cuse in general. Given that, I mean, the football final score wasn't great, but there's a special guest in the house with Carmelo Anthony. I don't know if you guys have heard of him. He was on the sidelines. He was in the stands. The connection that Melo has to Cuse, I would argue, is different than any one and done ever to any place. Would you agree?
Yeah, just talking to GMAC about it, I mean, going throughout campus, you see more Carmelo Anthony jerseys, Syracuse Carmelo Anthony jerseys, than I think you can any NBA jersey. Like the, you obviously have like the Kobe jerseys being worn, and then it's probably like Carmelo Syracuse jerseys, and people around the country, like there was guys at Summer League wearing Carmelo Syracuse jerseys. You know what I mean? So like, like the love affair, the connection that the school has with Carmelo has with the school, and then seeing his son get offered by Syracuse just gave me chills.
Yeah, and it's like the coolest thing in the world.
There's no other place. I honestly believe this. There's no other place in the country that treats former players like Syracuse people treat.
Yep.
Like there's such a love affair between the player and the school, and I mean even students. You know, I only played there for 1 year. I go back and I take 200 pictures with the students at Syracuse. Mm-hmm. And I'm not Carmelo Anthony. I'm not a first round pick. You know, I'm not a top 75 player of all time. So
yeah,
obviously what he was able to do in his 1 year, win a national championship, lead the country in, like pretty much in scoring, being the most dominant player in the NCAA tournament. I mean, having him and GMAC on the same team, two of the most legendary college basketball players of all time, it was unbelievable.
Yeah, I mean, it's just, like, so fun to watch. And I still can't believe, individually, I kind of, like, was inside the program. Because then I see Carmelo Anthony, and I'm like, what the hell? Like, that's Carmelo, and he played at the same place, you know what I mean? So anytime he's back at the Dome, and it's been 20 years now that he's been in the NBA, so he's very, very busy. So he didn't have much time to – I'm sure not as much time as he'd like to go back to games and everything, so – whenever he can, it's like a giant treat for everyone there. And our producers were actually right behind him when he walked out of the tunnel. So good for you guys.
Watching that video just gave me chills, though. Just seeing him wave to the crowd, and then watching he posted an Instagram pictures on his Instagram, and the second one is Dick Vitale commentating his first basket at Syracuse. He's like, he's gonna be one of the best diaper dandies of this. You know what I mean? It's just
So cool.
Chills and
Dicky V also, he just nailed that call. He said he's going to be the best diaper dandy in the country and like in the history of Syracuse, and he just like was.
Yeah, unbelievable.
But completely unbelievable. But you mentioned that you go back to Cuse, you get like 200 pictures with people, like you're like batting people off you. It's just mobs. I actually haven't been back yet to a game or like to campus at all. But my first game I'm going to is next week, the Empire Classic in Brooklyn.
Get ready.
So I'd imagine I'm gonna have, you know, a similar type of experience.
Get ready.
Where I walk in there, you're taking, you know, signing autographs, taking pictures, babies. The whole thing. Yeah. So looking forward to that though. They play Richmond and then the winner of Temple St. John's. But I mean Barclays, I'm gonna walk in and just think of the ACC tournament last year. than when we smash Florida State.
Jimmy Boeheim loves to reference that game.
Yeah.
We just smashed them.
Yeah. I mean, we did. We beat them so bad.
Yeah.
Like 45 ball. But
Patty, what are your overall first impressions of college basketball this first week?
I didn't watch as much as I would have liked to. I'm more of an NBA guy now. You know what I mean? Yeah. Being a free agent myself, I'm kind of like evaluating what teams in the league might be able to scoop me up. But,
you and Melo, yep.
Yep, exactly. But I don't know. It was a pretty. I feel like there's more upsets in the first week than usual. I don't know if that's, you know, a cold take, but Villanova.
Florida State going down.
Yeah, Florida State
Louisville
lost.
Losing two games for slow major.
I mean,
teams.
Louisville, like, come on. That's just not great. What's going on? They've lost. Bellarmine was what, D2, like 2 years ago? They lost to them. They lost to a D2 team, and then they lost to Wright State, right? Not to take anything away from those programs, but, like, if you're Louisville, you should be winning those games, probably.
Yeah, it's a tough start for, obviously, a new coach in Kenny Payne. I think they're going to get it together, though. They obviously
– Yeah, at some point, yeah.
They're going to have a good recruiting class coming in. Louisville's a storied program. And that actually leads us to our stat of the week. Jake Sheridan, what would you like
– Oh, it's about Louisville.
Would you like to say the stat of the week?
Take it away.
Yeah, I'm back. Another two-week hiatus I gave you guys. But going off of what you're saying about Louisville – it's actually the first time a team has started 0-2 by 1-point losses since 1992. Any chance you guys want to guess what team that could be?
In all of college basketball?
All of college basketball.
Oh, that's easy. I mean, there's only 363 of them, so that should be an easy guess. Thanks, Sharon.
All right, I'll just give it.
Syracuse.
It was Arkansas State.
Wow. Oh, all right. That was my second guess.
Yeah, but there you go. Louisville basketball to start off the year. One of many crazy college basketball stats you might hear from me. Have at it, guys.
Thanks, Sheridan. Who could forget Arkansas State's 0-2 start? They had Final Four aspirations that year, too. So it was like out of the gate, you stumble. It's hard to recover from.
Hey, speaking of college sports, your Fighting Irish have been putting it together in college football.
Oh, yeah, I mean – listen, there's whispers of like, oh, after they lose to Marshall and then they lose to, well, people after Marshall, it's like, oh, they're gonna go. They're playing North Carolina, or no, they played Cal in the North Carolina. It's like, oh, they're gonna go 2-10. They're gonna go 3-9. Freeman's gone. Whatever. They just win ball games. They're just a good program. So we didn't mention it last week because the episode with the interview with Charlie deservedly went a little longer than expected. Yeah. But they just beat the piss out of Clemson.
Yep.
Like. Completely destroyed them. It was never even a contest. They looked like a D2 team. And then, yeah, last week, I mean, playing Navy's always tough, but
it's like playing a rival. I mean,
as they say. Yeah, they are a rival. They play every year. They have a weird offense. Like, yeah, but I mean, they're just a machine. Every single year, it's between eight to at least eight wins. Eight wins is like a bad season, which tells you all you need to know.
I mean, speaking of Notre Dame coaches, Brian Kelly is getting it done at LSU.
Yeah. I mean, we don't have to get into that. He does just win.
He just wins. I mean, I was listening to Colin Cowherd on his show. He's like, or maybe it was someone impersonating Colin Cowherd. He was like, one thing that I always try to tell my kids is like, people are who they are. Brian Kelly, he wins football games.
He wins games, yeah.
You know what I mean? Let's just.
Yeah. That's why we're going to do our first pseudo draft, I guess, or predictions here. Talking about college football. We're college football experts now. We talk about it almost every episode. So, episode 10, I feel like this part of the year, what's there, 3 games left for each team? 2 games left plus the conference championships, which Notre Dame doesn't have to play in.
Yep.
But, did you have a chance to prepare your college football playoff prediction?
Of course. I'm always ready.
Take it away.
Are we going?
Who's your four?
Who's my four?
Yeah.
So I want to go.
Are we going what? What were we going to ask?
Are we going to predict the champion as well, or are we just doing the
four? Oh, yeah. You got to go four. You got to go who wins the 2 games and who wins the title.
Okay. I think Georgia's going to end up getting out of the SEC. I think they'll end up winning the SEC. They're going to play LSU in the championship, SEC championship. Georgia will probably be the number one. I'm going to go Michigan as the number two. I have them beating Ohio State, have them winning the Big Ten. And surprisingly so, I'm going to go TCU with my three. TCU with my three, because I think they're going to end up winning the Big 12. They beat Texas this week with a big win against my Longhorns. I'm a Syracuse football fan first, but a Longhorns football fan second. Had a tough year. And then I'm going
to
go...
Yeah, it seems to be pretty commonplace since Mac Brown left. But yeah, sorry to cut you off. Go ahead.
Yeah, no, that's fine. That's fine. and then I'm going to go... It's between Ohio State and Tennessee for this last one. But I'm going to go Ohio State is going to end up being the number four team. So Georgia, Michigan, TCU, Ohio State, number four.
Okay, I got Georgia first too. I'm gonna go TCU second.
Wow.
I'm gonna go Tennessee third. I don't know how that's gonna happen. Yeah. And I'm gonna go USC fourth.
USC.
Yep. I think they win a dogfight against Notre Dame. I think they get in. They're number seven right now. Did they just lose? No, they lost to Utah like a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, no, I just don't see. I don't think USC is that good. I think they're overrated. I think they'll probably lose to UCLA this weekend.
I disagree. That's why I have them in.
Okay, that's fair.
But yeah, so I don't even remember what I said. I was just trying to mix it up there, because that's one of the things. Like, if I get it right, it's like, oh shit, like that was a.
Yeah.
So what I go Georgia, TCU, Tennessee, USC. I don't know how Tennessee gets to three. It's like inconceivable, but it's going to happen in my rankings.
Yep.
And then, so I would have Georgia versus USC. I got the Bulldogs winning that game.
Okay.
And then we'll go Tennessee over TCU and Georgia back-to-back, cutting down the nets, so to say.
Wow.
Even though there's no nets.
Wow. I'm going to go Georgia beating Ohio State in the first game, and then I'm gonna go Michigan beating TCU, and I'm gonna give Jim Harbaugh the props here, and I think he's gonna win the national championship. Michigan will be champions.
Really?
Michigan will be up top.
Wait, did I have neither? I had Ohio State and Michigan not in my four. I just realized that.
Yeah, it's not.
So we're gonna need some chaos. We're gonna need some chaos, but I like it.
You're gonna have to have Michigan lose in the Big Ten. I mean,
yeah,
Ohio State or Michigan.
See, I did this. I wrote this on a paper and then like typed it up, and then in a separate tab, I have the Google like rankings of the playoff rankings, and it just simply makes no sense.
Yep.
Because Ohio State and Michigan are gonna cannibalize each other. Well, I'm gonna have Ohio State win against Michigan, and then they lose in the Big Ten championship. Does that work?
No,
I think I don't think either team is going to win a game the rest of the season. How's that sound? But yeah, those are my official rankings.
Sounds good.
But I thought that went pretty well.
Yeah.
As Adam and Jake know, I'm a perfect predictor of playoffs because I went on their show and just dominated the NBA playoffs. So.
What a segue right there, huh?
What was the segue going to be?
Into the NBA.
Oh, okay. All right. Yeah, let's chop it up about the NBA. I was gonna start talking about the Eagles, but yeah, I guess since you are an NBA player, you're on the Lakers. We should talk about you because it is this wider show. But yeah, weekly check-in. How's the foot? How you feeling? What's the timetable? All that.
Yeah. So I'm getting reevaluated on Wednesday. So by the time this podcast comes out, I'll be reevaluated. Getting an MRI done on my foot again to see. The healing, how the healing process has gone. Hopefully, after Wednesday, I'll start being able to do basketball workouts. So, get back out on the court, be able to start shooting again, and then progressively work my way back up to playing in games. So, all that stuff is to be determined based on Wednesday. If Wednesday goes well, then we'll kind of create a schedule after that. But yeah, so Wednesday being reevaluated, been able to shoot spot shots and. Like spot shots around the key, no jumping yet. Been able to start going off my foot a little more. Been in an underwater treadmill, and yeah, it's been good. Everything's felt good. Everything's progressed well, and looking forward to Wednesday. Hopefully, getting some good news there. So, if anyone's listening to the Swider Show, I know it'll be past that time, but keep me in your
hopefully
your hearts.
Yeah, some prayers, some thoughts, of course.
Yeah, some thoughts, yep.
Some T's and P's, but what's the ramp up process like if you do get cleared?
Yeah, so I mean, we haven't talked about it in extent yet, but what I have heard is to start with catch and shoot, see how I feel from there. One of the weird things about my ramp-up process is that I haven't had any pain, so I won't be able to tell from a pain perspective, but hopefully from this MRI, right, that won't be a huge concern. After a couple of days of catch and shoot, be able to start going on the move. But it most likely be like a hard day, like a lighter day catch and shoot, hard day, lighter day catch and shoot, kind of ease the ease the navicular bone back into playing. And then after a week and a half, hopefully start practicing, of doing hard day, off day, hard day, off day. So it's definitely going to be a slow process. Start practicing and then seeing how after I practice for a couple of days, maybe a week, and hopefully getting back into games then. So it's definitely a slow process, but it's also a part of my foot that I don't want to really mess with in terms of my future of basketball. So might be frustrating in the moment, but it's definitely for my best interest in my future.
Yeah, it's definitely something you want to take care of preemptively, which I guess is the whole process that you've been doing for the last 4 weeks. But that's interesting. I think most people probably think like they see, oh, you're out for, or you're reevaluating in 4 weeks. It's like if you get good news on Wednesday, like, oh, he's in uniform on Thursday. But that's
playing on Thursday,
not necessarily the case.
No, especially with this injury. I mean, if it was a sprained ankle, or if it was something like that, and it says out for 4 weeks, that's a little different because you're testing it out after 2 weeks. You're constantly doing. It's based on how you feel, and I mean, the tough part for me is that I don't have any symptoms, so it's going off of an MRI. They spotted something in the MRI, and just trusting the doctors, trusting the medical staff we have here with the Lakers and going from there.
Yeah. Real quick, and then we'll segue into the interview with Jake. But the difference in schedule between the G League and the NBA, some people I've talked to who know that you're on a two-way will ask me that, because I'd assume when you get back, when you're talking about like practicing and stuff, G League guys, like the NBA, like the Lakers, you don't have practice very many times throughout the week during the regular season, right? Whereas G League, you might have it a little bit more, or is that way off?
Yeah, so the thing about G League is that when you travel, you're usually going for like a back-to-back or two games.
Yeah,
three
it's almost
days,
it's like four, series, right?
Four games in 6 days. It's one of those things. Since we're traveling commercial and we're going to these places, so you usually have 3 or 4 days in between games at times when you do have some time off. So for example, this week we don't play till Thursday, so we had a game on Saturday, off Sunday. Today we had like a player development day. Tomorrow it's actually part of Dennis Schroeder and Thomas Bryant's rehab to get back playing is that they're going to come down with the G League team and play with us. So
that's so interesting.
Yeah, so they're going to come back.
Does that happen for most guys that get hurt?
I'm not sure. It's honestly the first time it's happened for us.
Yeah.
But those two guys are going to come down, play 5-on-5 with us, because a lot of the guys with the NBA team, it's like they've played so many games, and obviously we have a bunch of players who log high minutes, so they're not trying to play 5-on-5 full court game situations to get some of these guys back healthy. But for the G League team being in the same facility, it's honestly a great resource to have for the Lakers. So tomorrow. Mm-hmm. Tomorrow those guys are going to come down, play with us, and then after that, it's they'll play on Friday. But yeah, so the G League, there might be a couple more days in between games when we have like a layoff, because we do have 4 games in 6 days.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, no, the schedules are a lot different, and you're not flying charter, you're flying commercial. So
yeah,
you have to be smart in where you schedule games, how you schedule games, and everything like that.
Yeah, I've noticed that. It's almost like baseball where it's like series.
Yeah.
Basically, it's like you go, I don't know, like Buddy right now, they just played the Bucks G League team like 4 times in a row, I think, or they're in the midst of that.
Hey, shout out to Buddy with the big game.
Absolutely big lit game. It up. It was only a matter of time, but.
Obviously, he had 25
threes,
points. Yeah, obviously he had 25
boards.
Points. Yeah, I was about to say that. Like, the one thing that impressed me was that Buddy had 10 boards. And
10 boards, yeah.
And I'm not saying that Buddy's not a great rebounder, because he obviously is a good rebounder for his position, but 10 boards is impressive, and that's going to be big for him moving forward, especially in the NBA, because if he can get 10 boards, then that shows that he's more than just a scorer, because obviously that's what we know.
I watched like part of the game. I watched the highlights of it too, like just splitting the net, but I never obviously look for rebounds. I'm sure there's a couple long rebounds in there. I'm going to assume that with getting to 10, but no, I'm just kidding. Yeah. But 25 and 10, 7 threes. Shout out to Bud. First guest of the show.
First guest, yeah.
Great friend of ours. Yep. So, yeah, it was, like, amazing to see.
And it was his birthday the other day, too, so.
Yeah.
Happy late birthday, buddy. Yeah,
happy birthday, bud. Was it on his birthday? No, it was the day after,
right? I think it was the day after,
25, the 12th.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, anything else you want to hit around the NBA? Do you want to go around the coast or just get into this interview with Jake? I don't know how long we've been going here, but.
Yeah. Obviously, I just want to shout out to my team yesterday for getting the win over Brooklyn. AD, 37 and 18, just completely beast. Dominating the game. Russ having a great game again, 12 assists, I think 14 points. So, big win for the team yesterday. Proud of the guys for being resilient. Obviously, we've had some really tough stretches. But hopefully, we have a pretty favorable schedule these next four or five games, so hopefully we can get this going on a little streak here.
Yeah. AD had, like, a stretch in the second half where it was, like, every time you guys would miss around the hoop, he would just dunk it. It was so easy. Looked like he was playing on, like, a 9-foot hoop.
Yeah, he's unbelievable, especially, like, I think he's starting to feel a little bit healthier. He's getting back into game shape because, I mean, a lot of these guys, AD, LeBron, Russ is a little different. Russ will play 5-on-5 with us in the off season, but like some of these guys are getting back into shape along with like playing games and trying to win a game. You know what I mean? So AD obviously has dealt with all these injuries. So like I felt like last night was the first time where like he was calling himself back in the game. He was he was telling Coach Ham like, "Hey, as soon as KD goes in, I'm going in guarding him." You know what I mean? Like he was so locked in last night, and you could see when he out there when he played.
I mean, if he would go on like one of those runs he has for like 2 or 3 weeks and just average like 30 and 15, that obviously would be very good for you as a Lakers player and me as a Lakers fan.
Yeah, I mean he's one of the most gifted players in the NBA, so
it's unreal watching him play.
He could do that every night.
Yeah. Also, real quick, shout out to Austin for the pass he threw in the second half. That was ridiculous. The lefty, like, it was like, we'll post the clip of it on our story, but it was legitimately, like, jaw-dropping. Like, it was an insane pass.
Yeah. Yeah, no, he's a special passer, and I'm excited to play with him once I get back out there.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a seamless connection there, which we talked about. If you haven't listened to our episode with Austin Reeves, that was episode 5, 6?
Yeah, I thought one of our best episodes. 5.
Yeah, for sure.
Great guy.
He's the man. But I guess, that's a good segue into this week's interview, this episode's interview with Jake Marsh of Barstool Sports, of Part of My Take. Thanks to him again for joining us. It's a very fun conversation. Like you said, a little bit more unique, but we're, diversifying the backgrounds here a little bit after, a lot of players on at first. We had a trainer, now we have play-by-play guy, podcaster, fellow podcaster.
Yep.
And he's obviously very, very good at what he does, so it's a great interview, fun interview. Cuse guy, a lot of Cuse talk. But, thank you guys for tuning in, and hope you enjoy the interview. Very honored to welcome on, again, I feel like we say this every week, so we're a little bit different of a guest, but super honored. Maybe like a competitor, technically, with a sports podcaster, but it's a sports business reporter for Part of My Take, the number one sports podcast in the world. You guys might have heard of it. And maybe most notably, a Syracuse guy, Jake Marsh. Thanks for joining the show.
Thank you guys for having me.
Yeah, of course. Really, just to get it out of the way real quick, Adam Lewis was very excited for this episode. He's our producer. I don't know if he has a mic on him. You might not be able to hear him. But he's another Newhouse guy, so if you guys want to bond over that real quick, you can take your couple seconds here.
Yeah, no, we were talking right before, and I was a broadcast major. He was TRF.
Newhouse is the way to go. As you can tell, two very successful shows. Part of my take in the Swider Show.
Yep, exactly. Same level.
Similar level. Yeah, for sure. No, we're definitely headed that way, but obviously, Jake, thanks for coming on the show. We really appreciate it. We've kind of had a mix of guests, so we've had a lot of basketball guests, and obviously, you know your sports. I'm not going to take that away from you, but but yeah, no, it's definitely like a good change up for sure. So coming from Part of My Take, obviously, it's a show that we all watch, and it's something that I look forward to every single week. Can you give us a quick Big Cat and PFT story? Just for listeners, I know we're kind of putting you on the spot here, but those guys are so funny.
Yeah, I guess I could start off with when I interviewed with them. So I've been with them. So I graduated from Syracuse in 2018, and I joined them the summer of 2019. And that interview process was crazy. It's on YouTube somewhere. I can try to find and send you guys the link, but it was one of like the most unique interviews I've ever been a part of for obvious reasons. I remember when I shake my hand with them, because like your hands are clammy, and they were like, they were sweaty, because how could they not be? Like, you turn the corner in the room. First off, I had to sign a waiver interview because they were going to use the footage so they could film it.
Mm-hmm.
So like, I was like very nervous, and then I shake my hands, and they're like, your hands are clammy. And then I give them my resume. Obviously, there's a bunch of the Syracuse broadcasting stuff on there. And Big Cat's like, all right, I want you to do play-by-play of a Syracuse football game pretending Donovan McNabb is puking on the field in the middle of a play. So I'm like,
I've seen this clip before, yeah.
Yeah, that's the craziest request ever, yeah. But I just did it. And yeah, it allowed me to like show off my personality to them a little bit, doing things on the fly. But yeah, those guys are amazing. They've done so much for me in my career, mm-hmm. and I consider them friends more than bosses, for sure. Right.
Yeah, one thing that I always loved college basketball season, that you are a very supportive Syracuse fan. They give you crap, especially after last year. You know what I mean? We had so many tough losses, but you stuck up for us, and I appreciate that.
Yeah, no, of course. I admittedly wasn't a Syracuse fan until I started going there. I grew up a diehard Florida Gator fan. Still root for them, but obviously where your alma mater is, you root for them.
Yeah.
And develop a passion for them. Was fortunate to get a Final Four run in my sophomore year and the Sweet 16 my senior year. So, yeah, hopefully this year they can turn around and get back in the tournament.
Definitely.
Yeah, I mean, we'll get into that like a little bit later. We Swider brought up Big Cat and PFT right away. I'm sure you get asked about them all the time, but we did have Jake Marsh on the show as a guest for a reason. We want to, you know, talk about your life. However, you mentioned your interview process. I've always been curious, because your role it's pretty unique to the show, right? Like, it's sort of the bit, but like, it's like no curses. You wear like nice clothes a lot, and basically like you bring this element to the show that wasn't there before. So did they tell you they were looking for that in like a more professional type, like play-by-play guy? Or is it kind of just like it just like matured into that role, and you've definitely like fallen into it pretty seamlessly at this point? And I feel like every episode you add an element that wouldn't be there if you weren't, you know, like a actual like episode by episode personality now.
Yeah, no, for sure. And yeah, when they were looking just for a generic intern 3 years ago, and I just didn't, like, I was open to doing anything. I assumed it was going to be like a behind the scenes thing. My first job out of Syracuse was University of Vermont play-by-play for their men's basketball team. So this was just like, I viewed it as a summer internship, just like kind of bridge the gap between college basketball seasons. And I remember during the interview, Big Cat went to PFT, whispered in his ear something, and then said it to me. He's like, all right, we want you to be an intern to mock Darren Revelle. If you're on Twitter,
you
probably know who Darren Revelle is.
Yeah.
He's kind of, I mean, I'm one too, so nothing against him, but he's kind of this nerdy personality, tweets out random stats and figures and food and all this weird type of stuff. So basically they brought me on to try to out-scoop him on certain things and try to get under his skin. So that's how I got my foot in the door. very unique, like you mentioned, opportunity. But I realized how big of a platform that was and how cool of an opportunity that was, and I had to take advantage of it. Mm-hmm. And 3 years later, I've been fortunate to do a lot of other things outside of mocking Darren Revell.
Right. Swire, have you ever got – how much Revell content have you gotten in your life? Oh, we could probably do the rest of the podcast on just – no, but, like, I mean, like, Big Cat playing one-on-one with him back in the day is so funny. Like, the JFK gif that he tweeted out, like, that's the number – I think that's my favorite, like, funniest one. But
that viral video, by the way, was my first in-person interaction with him of him running the 40-yard dash.
Oh, my God, it's disgusting.
That's the XFL Combine.
It's legitimately like puke in your mouth type stuff. Like it's hard to watch.
Like on site assignment they sent me to was to the XFL Combine in 2019.
He's a Northwestern guy too, so like I mean Newhouse in there, it's like a rival.
Rival journalism.
It's like Duke Carolina.
But, literally.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So going back to obviously when you're a high school kid, you want to get into broadcasting. What kind of drew you to Syracuse? What did you have any family members who were into sports broadcasting? And kind of how has that led you to your career now?
Yeah, no, like I mentioned, I grew up a Florida Gator fan. Like that was my dream school growing up, and I eventually got into there. But I also, like we talked about, wanted to get a career in journalism and broadcasting. So I knew Syracuse had one of the best schools out there for that. And I toured Syracuse, and I was blown away by the facilities. Kind of like when you guys are basketball players, and you're touring Syracuse. Like,
yeah.
You walk into the Mello Center, and you're like, oh, my God, like this is a big tradition. Like, this would be really cool to be a part of. And that's how I felt with Newhouse. A little different between basketball and broadcasting, but it's kind of the same concept, right? So you see the facilities. You see the prestigious list of successful alumni. Like, you see Carmelo Anthony. I see Ian Eagle and Mike Tirico. Like, kind of the same thing. So just seeing that all the opportunities and potential there, I wasn't used to the weather, but I knew in terms of the long run, that was the best decision for me in my career.
Are you from Florida? Did you grow up there?
Yeah, I grew up in South Florida, a Fort Lauderdale suburb called Weston.
Okay. So, Swire, Jake's a Dolphins fan. I don't know if you knew that. So Swire's a big Patriots guy. So now it's like the AFC East runs through Miami, which it's not necessarily a normal thing. But well, I'm an Eagles fan. I'm an Eagles fan. So I don't know if we should be throwing up the beast. NFC beast. This is 100% more true.
But we're recording this on Monday night. This will probably drop after the game. But you should sacrifice to the Commanders so you could say your division's better.
Yeah, that's true. So at Cuse, you did play-by-play for basically every single sport, so including basketball and football. Not to shit on the other sports, but that definitely are the two most notable. But one thing I've always been curious about with Newhouse people with like getting involved with play-by-play, I'd imagine you're not like a big fan of those other sports. So how like tough is it to prepare for a sport that you maybe don't know? You know, because I'm sure, given that you're like a college expert or college basketball expert, you could just walk in, watch any college basketball game, and you'll know generally what's going on. But was there any sports where you like almost didn't know the rules and you had to prepare and be interesting as a play-by-play guy when you're at Cuse?
No, for sure. And like you mentioned, like, yes, every kid who entered the profession, if they had it their way, they would call it football and basketball.
Yeah, it's like I'm going to be Joe Buck, yeah.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. And that's what everyone's goal is, and that's my goal as well. Like, no one's afraid to say it. But the reality situation is, like, in order to get better, the more reps, the better. So any opportunity that comes your way, if you're given the chance to call a game, you call it. That's at least how I approached it. I think it was Ian Eagle who, like, came to speak to a bunch of us when I was up there once. And he said, one thing I remember is never say no to an opportunity in terms of calling games, right? So Z89, one of the student radio stations there, they broadcast high school football in the Syracuse area too. So like on a Friday night, instead of going to like Lucy's or DJ's, like I'm going over to CNS versus Liverpool,
right?
And in going to the press box and just getting some tape in. Like it sounds really nerdy, but that's the reason why I chose Syracuse, was to get the broadcasting reps in. And So I just viewed it as like, yeah, I didn't party every single night. Like I still had my fair share of nights on Marshall Street, but
right.
There's some sacrifice yep. involved too, professionally.
I'm interested in, because obviously as a basketball player, as a player who is trying to make my career better, I'm interested in how are you able to compare? Did you play sports growing up? Like, were you an athlete growing up?
Nothing. Like, in high school, not really. I was just, like, the student sports editor at the newspaper. But, like, I went to all of the events and things like that. But I would still, like, play basketball with my friends for fun. But nothing competitive past, like, middle school.
Because at the end of the day, there's so many parallels in life in terms of, like you said, you sacrificed nights going out so you could broadcast a high school football game. Me and Patty have sacrificed nights going to the gym instead of going out. Talk about the grind of the broadcasting, trying to perfect that craft, and what are some of the things that you could do on a Friday night instead of going out that could help propel you? Because I'm not totally sure, because I can go to the gym and get shots, and it's something that I can see myself getting better at. What are some of the things that you would focus on in terms of trying to get an edge over someone in the broadcasting world?
Yeah, so in between my junior and senior year, so the way the student radio station works, it's kind of like pledging a fraternity. Like, as a freshman, you got to wake up at 5 a.m. and go to the station, practice recording like mock sportscasts.
Holy shit. That sucks.
WAR, it's on Ostrom.
Okay.
I don't know if you guys have ever walked the past.
Yeah,
yeah. But yeah, so you got to wake up in 20 degree weather. That's being generous, I guess, depending on the time of year. But you got to wake up and just go record like a mock 2-minute sportscast. Doesn't even go on the air. It just gets you write it, you record it, and then you get it critiqued by like an upperclassman, and you do that for like a whole semester. Then sometimes you go to the Syracuse basketball games, you go sit in the upper deck and you take your phone and you record yourself calling the game. Like, it's all practice reps. But anyways, in between my junior and senior year, I would pull up like full NFL games on YouTube to get ready for my senior year calling Syracuse football. And I would just call it on my phone. Like, I'm sitting in front of a computer. I would see, I would type in Patriots, Bills, full game CBS. I would mute it and I would just record it and send it out. I had like a few mentors. One of them was Jason Benetti, who was a Syracuse alum, and he would just critique me. So by the time we got to the fall and it was the real games, that just helps you get better. Like I said earlier, like the reps, even though it seems kind of silly just recording yourself, like when it goes out into a real game, the nuts and bolts of it definitely come with you.
How practical is doing that compared to, because for me, it's the same thing in basketball, right? I can shoot all the shots I want to in an open gym, but once you get to the game, there's the emotions, there's the feeling, there's people yelling at you. You can't prep for that. So how different or how similar is it to, do you feel like it is to an athlete, of calling a game in a moment where, if all right, like I got to make this call right now, you know what I mean? I'm in the moment. Where you're doing the Patriots Bills game by yourself, there's obviously not that pressure. Talk about like that pressure of just performing in that certain type of moment, and if you have any quick stories about that so far, even if it's a Vermont basketball story, that'd be amazing to hear.
Yeah, no, definitely, and I'm surprised you brought up Vermont, because I know Syracuse people aren't fans after what happened in 2005.
Oh, yeah. We brought that up with GMAC 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, it's been brought up on this show. It's been brought up on this show.
Yeah.
Because when I was there, two of the assistant coaches were on that team in 2005. Yeah. So like, obviously have their character as Syracuse.
Sarator? No. Is that his name? What's the guy's name?
You're thinking of Sorrentine.
Sorrentine.
Yeah, TJ Sorrentine. Sorrentine.
Yeah. That's his second mention in the last three episodes.
We gotta get him on now.
Yeah, seriously.
He's the assistant at Brown.
Yeah, okay. Good dude. I know him well. Rhode Island guy.
Yeah, but anyways, yeah, it's definitely just it's a tough business, kind of like basketball, right? Like the odds are stacked against you, right? You got 60 guys to get drafted to the NBA. Even making D1, like in broadcasting, there's all these kids at the radio station. Just at the end of the day, there's two headsets a game, right? Mm-hmm. And you have all these kids going to Newhouse and going into the broadcasting world because they all want to, but you kind of, in a way, control your own destiny in terms of at least how hard you were. Maybe not the direct results, but in terms of how much work you put into it, no, you can control that. It might not directly, for like, to make it a basketball analogy, like if you put 1,000 shots up, sure, that's not going to directly correlate to you scoring 30 against Duke, but there could be a domino effect to leading in that direction, you know?
Big time.
I wanted to ask about when you're doing like play-by-play, how do you manage when, I'm sure there's been multiple times where you say something, you're kind of like, oh shit, like I either botch that or like it's cringy or like something like that. Because you obviously have to listen back to what you're saying for the most part to improve. How do you manage that, like embarrassment, like secondhand embarrassment? Because if like Adam sends me the podcast after we record, and I can barely listen to my own voice because I'm like, Jesus Christ, like who is this asshole? So like play by play, it's even more important. Like you're defining the moment on the fly. So I've always wondered that about guys who were doing broadcasts.
Yeah, I was my freshman year at Syracuse. I would listen to my voice, and I'm like, it sounds disgusting.
Yeah.
And then you'll get used to it. Like you guys are what, 12 episodes in, 10 episodes in, you do this, you do that times 10. By the time you're at episode 100, like I don't want to speak for you, but I feel like there's a higher chance you get used to your voice. Like at this point, right. I'm used to it. Mm-hmm. But in the beginning, absolutely.
Yeah.
But I'm very hard on myself when it comes right. to, broadcast. Like I'll pick apart, every little thing I screw up, but that's kind of, again, it makes you better a little bit. Mm-hmm. So there's no such thing as a perfect broadcast. Like there's no such thing as a perfect game, but
right.
you can have a very good game. You can have a very good broadcast.
Baseball, there's a perfect game.
Baseball is a perfect game.
Not to be an asshole, yeah.
Yeah, no, you're right. Yeah.
Go ahead, Spider. They probably threw a ball. They probably threw a ball in there, so it's still not perfect.
Oh, yeah, it's true. All right, yeah, good point.
Still not perfect. So going back to part of my take, one of my favorite episodes was the Tim Grover episode when Michael Jordan's trainer who came on, and one of the things that he was talking about is the preparation that it takes every single day. We've obviously talked about preparation in the broadcasting world of what you do. Can you just talk about the preparation of part of my take, what actually goes into it? Because when you listen to it, it just seems like guys having fun, guys joking around. PFT and Big Cat are so quick on the fly of just comedy. Just going at each other. Can you talk about the preparation that it takes to put on the number one sports podcast in the world?
Yeah, no, absolutely. And I, before I joined them, they started the podcast in 2016. I didn't join until 2019. Like, part of me thought, yeah, they just show up and shoot the
Turn the mics on, yeah.
Farthest thing from that. So I'll give you a little day in the life. So Sundays during football season are our biggest day. So we get in the office at 1 o'clock and we're there till like 1 or 2 a.m. Because we recorded the podcast after all the games. But they, after the 1 o'clock, they'll watch the 1 o'clock games. And after the 1 o'clock games, then they'll get together and record the boomers. So if you listen to part of my take, the first ten minutes of the show, they make all these puns and like play on words for all the players and coaches that are involved in each game. And it's very funny. The reason I call it boomers is because they're kind of making fun, not making fun of, but taking Chris Berman's model from ESPN days. Yep. But that takes a lot of writing and a lot of just like brain. They just throw out ideas and see what sticks. So like there's a lot of brainstorming into that. And that takes a while. I'd say each boomer takes like 10 to 15 minutes and they do 9 games each week. So that's a couple of hours.
Right. Real quick. Sorry, not to cut you off, but it was on FAQs like pretty recently, but sitting in that room like behind the scenes, how many jokes are like cut or how long does that take to, obviously there's weeks I'm sure where it kind of flows a little bit better, but are they just going back and forth at this point? They're like 6 years into that bit where it's like, I'm sure they're watching games and they just think of one. They're like, oh yeah, we're using that.
Yeah. I always see them sometimes like pulling out their phones and
writing like, down.
Pulling out a Google Doc and writing something down. But yeah, no, it's all of that prep is just the first 10 minutes of the show. So, like, Big Cat will go to his desk and just, like, look up stats, dig into things. Mm-hmm. So it's a lot of work. Like, obviously they do a lot more than me, but And then there's also coming prepared with the segments, like the Who's Back segment, and Guys on Chicks, and FAQ, yeah. like you mentioned, and Hot Seat Cool Throne, and Firefest. Like, you just, it's kind of a weird thing because you're kind of always on, if that makes sense. You always got to be locked in to Twitter. And if I were to be very, very nitpicky, that's one of the things, like, I wish I could, like, just, like, re-energize my batteries and just not have to be... I wish I could disconnect for a little bit sometimes, but at the end of the day, we're talking sports. So that's really cool part of it.
Right. That's what I was going to say is there's such a difference where there's definitely, like, dumbasses who just think, like, oh, well, yeah, you're there one-to-one, but, like, you're watching football. But you're not just watching football. You have to constantly be thinking of, like, bits and takes to have. So it's so much different than just sitting on your couch and watching Red Zone. Like, there's nothing you actually have to take away from the game. So, I don't know. It's cool to hear you say that because I always think that whenever I hear someone, like, make a comment or see a tweet like that where it's like, oh, well, I mean, they're just watching football. It's like, no, they're not at all.
Keep in mind, on these streams, it's like people will nitpick any little thing you do. Like,
yeah,
you scratch your nose, people will be like, oh, my God, you're picking your nose, and send you a screenshot. So it's like,
right.
But no, it's fun, and they always get some good moments from those.
Right. What's it like running into people who are big fans? Say you're at a bar in New York, and they're like, oh, Jake Marsh. How, like... is it that they feel like they know you? You know what I mean? Like, I listen to the show, like, at least 2 full episodes a week. So I feel like I hang out with you guys for, like, 5 hours a week. So you run into this random person, and to be, like, perfectly frank with you, like, if I saw you or Big Cat or, like, any other Barstool personality, I, like, know a lot. Like, I know what your sense of humor is like. I know, like, how you guys talk and all this stuff. So I could have, like, an inside joke with you, but you would be like, I don't know who the fuck you are. Like, I've never met you in my life. So how is that dynamic where, because it's not like you're an athlete where, you know, people watch you play. It's like people know who you are because of your guys' personalities.
Yeah, no, for sure. It's very rewarding is the word I would say that to summarize that whole thing, because this is another answer that they actually said on, I think, last week's episode of Part of My Take. Like, do you guys, the question was to Big Cat and PFT, do you guys realize, like, how much of an impact you have on some people's lives. Like, it really is eye-opening and cool. And it's one thing to see it on social media, right? Because you see all these comments and all the likes and replies and things like that. But when that translates to real life, it's, like, really, really cool just to be like, wow, like, these people actually spend their time, their limited free time, listening to us shoot the shit talking about sports. It's really, really cool. So, no, we definitely appreciate that, and that's a unique part of the job for sure.
Yeah. Like Patty said, I think it's just one of those things where I feel like I can joke around with these guys, and you guys have the same sense of humor that Patty and I have.
Yeah,
you know, it's just every single week is just an entertaining thing to go on to, and like I said, like, even having guests like Stavros,
oh my God,
he was hilarious. Like, just the segments that they were doing with him, and then they brought him back and then did the whole entire NBA and NFL.
Oh. I'll say I think we have, like, some younger listeners. I don't know if they should, if we're recommended Part of My Take to them, I don't know if that should be the episode they tune into, but it was so, so funny. I've never listened to Cumtown, so I, like, didn't know really, like, I had heard about his sense of humor, but I don't know. I was like, this is just insane.
It got a little uncomfortable towards the end. And I think Big Cat and PFT started to, like, sense that out a little bit.
It was so funny. But yeah, that's what's so impressive about your guys' show, or PMT, is, like, you're able to make these inside jokes with millions and millions of, I don't know, younger males throughout the country. So, I don't know, the fan base, it's just, like, hilarious that you're able to do that. So impressive, too. What are you going to say, Swagger?
Yeah, well, One more thing, just talking about, obviously, Part of My Take. So when you have a big time guest come on, like a Dak Prescott or even like a Sean McVay or coaches like that, and then they bring up with the Green Bay Packers coach talking about, like, you're down by 8, fourth and goal from your own 8. How how are they able to do that? And do you feel like there's a certain type of personality that you have to be able to do that? And you kind of just talk about those guys and the perspective that they bring to the show and the guys.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And I think you can tell within 60 seconds whether or not the guest, quote unquote, gets the show.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right? You guys, I do when I'm sitting on the interviews, I'm sure you guys have a similar way of figuring that out too, right? Because if the guests can laugh at themselves, they understand. But there have been some interviews and they've talked about some names, like they've thrown some names out there where they don't really get it and they don't understand it. It's rare. Like, they're very good at interviewing and they're very good at, that's one of like the biggest compliments the two of them get, is that they're so good at making their guests likable. Like, there's some people who go on and you're like, you don't have a strong opinion on them, and then your opinion totally flips after the interview with them. So the most recent that I can think of is actually Kirk Cousins. They went in like on Kirk Cousins and they're like, PFT's like, damn it, you're making me.
Yeah. He was like, he was the one question with the quarterback, right? A couple weeks ago.
By the way, it's my new favorite segment.
It's so funny.
It's all those. I guess I could say it now because when's this dropping?
Thursday.
Thursday. So when?
Oh, are we getting a scoop right now?
You're getting a scoop. Let's go. But it won't. It's just for the TV. So Matt Ryan, we interviewed him today.
Okay.
So that'll be on Wednesday's episode, but you guys, it'll already have dropped.
Wow.
But basically, we go around the room and it's just one question with each person. So Matt Ryan's been on, Joe Burrow, Josh Allen, we had Chase Daniel, I'm trying to think who else, a ton. They're very good at interviewing. I think that's one of their best attributes. Like, yes, they can shoot the shit and talk football with the two of them, but when they get the guests involved, that's really impressive.
Yeah, from a PR standpoint, it's literally the best thing you could do as like an athlete right now. Because like you said, afterwards, everyone's like, oh, that person's way better than I thought he was.
Right. And there's some people on who they still would love to have on, right? Like, they're still, like, Big Cat DMs Durant all the time, and he, like, alphas him. he would be amazing. I'm trying to think else. Obviously, LeBron, but I feel like, I mean, Cole, you might have to help us out here.
That's the connection there.
Yeah, I'll get him on next episode.
Yeah.
They've said some interesting things about LeBron, so I don't know how imminent that is, but he's welcome on the show. So you could throw it in the locker room if you have any. Tell you what, Coach Boeheim, too. That would be awesome.
Yeah, he would be hilarious. He definitely wouldn't really get it, but it would be so, so funny.
You know what?
Be the best.
Funny story. Every year we do the Takey Award. We have, like, guest presenters on Cameo, like, award, like, introduce the categories. So they write a script and send it to me to submit to the Cameo. And 2 years ago, it was like Wild of the Year. And it's an inside joke with your guy's former teammate, Buddy, and a video of him and Carmelo in 2003. So Jim Boeheim voiced the This Is Wild of the Year. And he read the script. And so he has been on part of my take before, technically.
That's true. Yeah, he gave like an entire breakdown of a preview of the squad. He just like broke off the answer and was like, he was like, we got Cole Swider coming in, who's like a really good shooter. Like, it was so funny.
Yeah.
I think one of my favorite parts of the Takeys is the Blake of the Year.
Yeah.
Usually between Blake Bortles and Blake Griffin.
Wait, speaking of which, real quick, do you think Hank's ever going to get the ball right or no?
I don't see any proof of him getting the ball right. I hope he shocks us, but there's no reason to believe it right now.
Right.
So $5,000 on the line. He's running out of time. If he gets it once by New Year's,
it's $5,000, right?
You give him $5,000. But if he doesn't get it, Hank has to give them $5,000. But if he gets it twice, Hank loses as well. So I don't know.
Yeah, it's a lot of moving parts.
I got it 2 weeks ago. It felt good.
Yeah. That's like a really hard thing to do. Swire, you know that the ping pong ball they do at the end of the show where it's like they all name a number 1 to 100 and then it's like a lottery ball or a lottery machine?
That's insane. That's great.
But real quick here, we won't take up too much more of your time, but I think it's cool how you're in a very good spot, obviously, right now with where you're at with PMT and Barstool and everything. But you don't really seem to shy away from the fact that you still like to do play-by-play, like long term. So I don't know, just looking down the road, is that still something that, like, the bigger that PMT gets, you know, the more success you have at Barstool? And obviously there's you know, like you just did the Barstool Invitational in Philly and called that play by play, but is that still something that you, like, you're kind of, your sights are set on long term?
Yeah, absolutely. And like you said, like, it's not a secret. Like, that is my long term goal, to call a Final Four one day, or a Super Bowl, an NBA Finals, or something along those lines for a major network. But like you mentioned, times are changing in the business, and we just had our first broadcast for college basketball for exclusively for Barstool, and it was a really cool experience. Obviously, because it's on our platform, there really aren't that many rules. Like, you're allowed to talk betting. Like, I don't know if you saw the clip of the end of the Mississippi State Akron game, but it was a 19-point game. There were 127 points scored, and Big Cat and Dave were screaming for another bucket.
You don't get that anywhere else.
You don't get that anywhere else. In fact, you probably get in trouble if that happens anywhere else. But that was the uniqueness of it, and I'm really fortunate they gave me the opportunity to call that game. But that would be amazing to keep climbing up the ladder of this very competitive industry. But I'm open to doing whatever it takes to get in there, and hopefully Barstool gets more events. We have the bowl game, the Arizona Bowl, next month.
Yep.
So I'll be doing that with the two of them, so I'm excited for that. But hopefully more to come.
Yeah, you got screwed out of that 2 years ago, right? Or was that last year?
Last year, I had all my prep done.
Yeah.
3 days before, it was like the day before I was supposed to leave, and they canceled.
That's brutal. It was right around, obviously, it was right around Christmas with bowl games. Me and Swider both had COVID. Jake, that's why we lost to Georgetown, by the way. We all had COVID.
Of course. Of course.
I mean, not that it matters that I had COVID. Yeah. But
what was that redemption this year? They're playing this year, right? Yep. Next month?
Yeah, I think I'm going to that game, actually.
Yeah.
At the Dome, so it'll be a different feel at the Dome.
Swire, do you have any final questions before we get into the rapid fire here? Jake, we're going to be the first podcast ever to do rapid fire questions, so you'll be our first guest that's done it. Swire, are you ready?
Yeah, I'm ready for the rapid fire, man.
All right, we got some Q-specific ones for both of you, and then for Jake, I added some Barstool-specific ones. So, first one, Syracuse-specific. Swider, this is for you as a player. Jake, as a play-by-play guy. At the Dome, do you prefer a day game or a night game?
I'll go first. Let me go day game.
All right. Jake?
Interesting. I would go night game, just because, like, you walk around campus and go to class, and this is a rapid fire, so I'm kind of defeating the purpose. But just,
no, that's perfect. Take all the time you need.
The buzz leading up to it is what's cool.
I would say as a walk-on, I probably prefer the night games. There's usually more people there, and then you get three meals on a night game.
That's true. I will say, though, a Dome day game, I feel like at 2 p.m. on a Saturday, there's nothing like it. There's nothing like it. With the sun, also, the sun coming through the top,
if you get a win, too. If you get a win, too, the electricity on campus the rest of the time is awesome.
I haven't been since they renovated.
Oh, really?
There still is, like, a lot of sunlight through the roof.
Yeah. Yeah, it's even better now.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it looks great. Carrier Dome still, too. And I don't know if we're recognizing JMA on this podcast.
Unless I'm calling the game there, where I get in trouble for false advertising, it's the Carrier Dome.
Okay.
Jake, best game you ever called a Cuse? Basketball or football, but preferably basketball.
Yeah. North Carolina at home, they ended up losing, but it was an awesome comeback my senior year. And then I called Pursuit Radio the Michigan State tournament game with
The Brandon Bayer game.
Shout out walk-ons.
Yes. Yep. Yeah. He's an absolute legend. He's a legend in my household.
The Brandon Bayer game.
He's literally like, I think it's like Carmelo G-Mac him in my mind, as far as icons of the brew.
We ended up getting to fly to Omaha for the Sweet 16, where Duke eventually won, but it was cool. That tournament run was amazing.
Right. That's awesome. Swider, I think we've talked about this before, but is yours Indiana? Home game?
Home game, Indiana. Yeah. I think my favorite
Houston game ever. That game was insane.
Yeah, it was nuts.
I think my favorite Cuse game ever to watch was 2017, Syracuse at home, John Gillen, bank shot.
Oh, yeah. Awesome.
That was my junior year. Yeah.
Unbelievable. Actually, to merge both your answers there, last year we were playing Indiana, double OT, toward probably like 50 seconds left. Buddy, I think, fouled Miller Kopp or someone on a three, or Parker Stewart. Yeah. So that was his fourth foul. They tie it up. And so Buddy has four fouls. I'm looking around. I'm like, if this goes into a third overtime, like, am I going to have to check in? Like, I was so scared. And then Joe ends up getting fouled, and I would, like, hit my knees and thank God. But I was, like, shitting my pants. But, all right. Jake, your favorite player at Cuse when you were there?
Favorite player? Tyus Battle, because
okay.
That his,
great answer.
Him going off in the tournament my senior year in 2018, like, that was able to give me some unreal memories I'll never forget, like, traveling on that tournament run. It was really cool.
So clutch. Such a clutch player, too.
Yeah. Also, like, 39.8 minutes a game.
Yeah.
It's insane.
I mean, like we said, Braden Bear is coming off the bench in a tournament game. So, yeah. No disrespect to him, but mm-hmm. he made big plays.
All right. Orange Crate or Harry's? You said, well, Orange Crate was Lucy's. Now it's me and Swider were only there for a year, so we know it is Orange Crate.
Oh, do they not call it Lucy's anymore?
I mean, if you're Orange like Crate. If you're like a local, like if you want to be cool, you could be like, oh, we going to Lucy's, but it's now officially Orange Crate. And then there's Lucy Blues right behind it. It's like at the alley at the end. I think that's where DJ's was.
Oh, yeah, DJ's is gone. I'll go Orange Crate / Lucy's, especially when it's nice out because they open the back, right? Do they still do that?
Right.
Yep.
Yeah, real nice. I don't even know if this is really a thing. I was trying to compare Varsity to something. So I said Mario and Salvo's. I feel like that's not even like a rivalry, though, because Mario and Salvo's is like 15 minutes away.
Yeah. I have a hot take. I think Varsity Pizza itself is overrated.
Yeah.
But I love the food. I went for like a wrap and a salad. The Humdinger is really good. I went there like 3 times a week.
It's really good for not pizza. Yeah. Yeah. Swider?
I got Mario Salvo's. I'm not a big Varsity guy, but it's a cool aesthetic inside.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. So that closes Syracuse Rapid Fire. I'll be quicker with the Barstool ones. But favorite interview you've ever conducted yourself, like on Bench Mob, where you were the host, and then favorite interview or favorite guest on PMT?
Yeah, Bench Mob is extinct, but we got to interview some really cool people on there.
Buddy Bear, huh?
I know, I have to. Gotta be Buddy. But it was cool because we interviewed him the day after the West Virginia tournament game. So that was really unique. But Armando Baycott was really cool.
Mm-hmm.
Some of the coaches were really – I love Eric Musselman now.
Yeah.
Nate Oates is amazing. Bob Huggins. I don't know if you've seen my viral handshake with Eric Musselman, but
– I feel like I have. What, did you just like
– I messed it up.
Oh, really?
So awkward. Yeah, I tweet it every time Arkansas wins.
One of
nice.
One of my favorite clips last year was you guys were at the Wisconsin game. And what's the last name of the coach? I'm blanking on it right now.
Greg Gard.
Greg Gard,
yep.
He like comes up, we could, I don't know, maybe cut this, but he says like, he's like, hey, yeah. He's like, hey, what's up, guys? And Rico just out of nowhere is like, yeah, I'd be figuring out my tee times for the second. It's like, wait, what? I was dying laughing at that.
Rico being Rico, but PMT, yeah. I'd say it was Derek Jeter. He's my childhood hero.
Okay.
And we got to interview him 2 months ago.
Layup answer.
Zoom, on Zoom, but yeah.
Yeah, that's a perfect example of a guy that I just, like, when I was little, I hated him, and then I thought I did, and then he went on your show. I was like, he's pretty likable.
Yep.
More annoying question. How much do Big Cats Left TFT make, or what's Dave like?
I wouldn't say either annoying.
Yeah.
I'd say those two are definitely.
Yeah.
We don't have to ask this anymore, but people would always ask, what does PFT look like without his glasses?
Oh, that's true.
That was the one I got the most, actually, for like the first year or so.
How do you even answer that? It's like, I don't know, he has eyes?
It's like normal, yeah.
Yeah. Hilarious. Yeah. And then, Swire, these last two are the most important questions.
Yep.
Any advice for us as fellow podcasters trying to grow in the industry?
I would say similar to what I was saying earlier in terms of like broadcasting and you going to get shots up, like the more reps, the better. You do more, yeah, you're going to get better. There's no way to get better in terms of interviewing skills and just like conversations than just putting the work in, mm-hmm, doing more. Because if you take 3 months off from the podcast and you hop back into one, you'll probably feel a little rusty naturally, because that's with anything. But if you consistently do it once a week, you'll look back at this interview and you'll be like, wow, I made some progress in the last 5 or 6 months.
For sure. Yeah. If you do look at it like unbiasedly, there are some times where I'm like, oh, that actually turned out better than I thought it did. Like when you're in the conversation, you're like, oh, I sound like horrible right now, whatever. But then, yeah. But thank you for that. We'll definitely, you know, take that to heart.
Yeah.
And then finally, this is a completely unbiased question. I didn't come up with this myself. This is actually a mailbag question. In your opinion, who's the best walk-on in the history of Syracuse?
Oh, I mean,
Brandon Baier.
Ah, here we go.
Did you make a career tie-up in March Madness against Michigan State?
Well, we didn't make March Madness. I could have. It could have been on the table if we made the tournament. Oh, did he make a tie-up? I thought he got a block.
Tie-up. I thought it was a jump ball, yeah.
Yeah, okay. Syracuse had the possession error like the final 2 minutes. I think I gotta watch it back, yeah. But
that's true.
But yeah, I remember seeing your name come up on the Twitter feed when like the walk-ons were coming in. Yeah. Did you score last time?
Oh, come on, oh. Only every, 10 every, points.
10 points?
Yeah.
Against of course. Kuru.
Come on, Jake. Well, counting. Lemoyne, I scored 12. So I scored against Lemoyne, Lafayette, Wake Forest, Florida State. BC, Boston College.
Yep.
Yep. The first thing I did, one of your guys' most frequent guests, me and Swider are big fans of Mark Titus. After the season, great, I looked up how many points he had in one season. I outscored him. Like, my highest total in a season was higher than his. So, I don't know. If I ever meet him, I have that over.
Wow. That's awesome. Were there any – did you score in front of, like, any celebrities? Like, I know sometimes celebrities go to Syracuse games.
Swire, tell him was at the Wake game.
Yeah, he scored in front of Giannis game?
Yep.
Giannis game, yep.
But with, like, 2 minutes left in the game, he walked back to the locker room. So he wasn't at his seat when I got in.
Oh. Oh my god, that's really cool though. Yeah, what happens do you know when you're going in? Like does Boeheim look at you? You know it's about to happen.
You kind of like you can sense it. You get a feeling like later in the game, and then I don't know. Like Swider, the good players on the team, like the assistants, are very good about it. They're like, hey, like let's get the short guys in.
I thought one of the good things about last year was that we obviously had a bunch of tough games, but we literally had 8 games where the walk-ons, yeah, played in. Like, yeah, it was unbelievable. And then also, with that being said, Jimmy would go right to his dad and be like, all right, Laval and Patty time. You know what I, yeah, mean? Just, like, get him in the game.
Because Jimmy always says when he was little, he would, like, say to his dad, like, Jimmy would be, like, 7 years old. And he's like, Dad, you put the walk-ons in too late. Like, why don't you let them go in earlier? So his whole life, he's just been loyal to them. So that helped out a lot, too.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Shout out to Jim for the 7 billionth time on this podcast.
Yeah.
Yes. Let's get him on PMT.
True. Boeheim episode.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, I'll add one more question. If you guys ever want to do a collab episode, then we can make ourselves available.
Let's do it. Well, how about this? A home and home.
Perfect. Yep, my apartment in New York.
You get us Boeheim.
All right, we could work on that. No promises. Yeah.
Yeah. We'll make it happen.
Another great episode. Thanks, Jake, for coming on. Obviously, a lot of great Syracuse memories, and just wish you the best of luck going forward in your broadcasting career, and everything that's coming up with PMT and everything in the future. So thanks for coming on the Swider Show, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, thank you guys. Cole, good luck with the rest of the season and with the podcast, and looking forward to listening.